Father, we are singing about the reality that you are sovereign God. You are the Creator. Lord Jesus, you have been given all authority in heaven and earth, and every knee will bow before you. Those are words that are so easy to say. But we're asking this morning, Holy Spirit's ministry to expose so that we get to such a place where we can truly mean it from the very bottom of our hearts. You reign over my life. And I surrender all. Father, you are inviting us into a place of understanding the most incredible truths of your word, where you speak about us offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is a holy, acceptable worship unto you. You've been sharing with us about where we can come and present our bodies, present ourselves to you as instruments of righteousness, weapons of righteousness. And there's a grace that you have released for us to step into this and to experience more and more what a surrendered heart is all about, a surrendered mind, a surrendered will, a surrendered voice, a surrendered excuse, a surrendered motive. We can carry on. And so we thank you as you teach us this morning a little bit more of the power of this great love that you have for us, and understanding more and more how this incredible greater love impacts our lives and empowers us to be able to surrender, to be able to obey, to be able to say yes, Lord. And so we receive this morning your work and your word and your work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we say thank you for that. Thank you for how you prune us, how you keep us, how you shepherd us, Lord Jesus, as you build this incredible family of the Father. And we honor you for that this morning. Hallowed be your name, Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And this we ask in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start here in John 15 this morning. And just to carry on where we have been speaking over the last two weeks, or should we say 5 years, or should we say 10 years? But let's carry on as we look at what God is speaking to us right now, and for us to be able to respond. Before we look at the verses that we looked at last Sunday, just there in chapter 15 in verse 1, where Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And then he speaks, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken. They've received his word. And then he says, okay, now remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then we carry on, and he speaks about the reality of remaining in him. And he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, what's crucial for us to really accept is that it's the Father's will to prune us so that we mature as children of God. It's the Father's will to really prune us in many, many ways, pruning our motives, exposing our motives with truth, exposing our behaviors, anything that is preventing us from living in the reality that He has predestined us to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Anything that's preventing and in the way that we are maybe resisting in that truth where Peter writes, say that we are being built into the spiritual house. Anything like that, our Heavenly Father is busy dealing with that in our lives because it's about growth, it's about maturing. Because when we mature, what takes place, it is the evidence of the most incredible pruning work of our Heavenly Father, and that fruit gives Him tremendous glory. Now we're in a place at this time in our lives here where the Holy Spirit has been working, and there's a deep desire in all of us to really become more fruitful, to grow up, to become more mature, to be more fruitful in the ways of God. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We can ask each other, and that's going to be yes. There is this desire to become more mature and to really become more, what can I say, to see the glory of God, to see the fruit of His work in our lives. And in that Holy Spirit desire that is put into us, because He acts and He wills according to what God wants us to respond to, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It brings us to the place where we become very, very conscious of how disciplined we need to become in this journey of maturing in Christ Jesus. We become very conscious that we cannot just allow our thoughts to control us. We have to become disciplined in taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Jesus. We have to become very disciplined in taking our emotions captive and surrendering our emotions to be weapons of righteousness. We have to become very disciplined in every area of our life. And that's part of the maturing process that we are experiencing taking place in our lives. There's many, many examples in Scripture of this. In Jesus' own life, you remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and in John chapter 3, what did Nicodemus say? Because Jesus is modeling this kind of life. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, a very religious man named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if you are not with him." So they could see the incredible fruit in the life of Jesus, and the mind said, "This man must be from God." The evidence of the fruit in Christ Jesus was reflecting and manifesting the incredible reality that God was with him. We see in John chapter 14 when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says over here, remember Thomas said about how do we know where you're going? How can we know the way? And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You have seen him. So once again, we see something about the life of Jesus, his whole lifestyle, the way he lived, was really revealing who God was, manifesting God in his life. So the fruit of Jesus' ministry, the fruit of his life, the fruit of his words, the fruit of his motives, the fruit of his mind, the fruit of his behavior, everything about Jesus was reflecting the reality that God the Father was with him. And that's what Jesus says over here. He says, Philip, He said, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? After I've been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. And I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And then he says to all of us, now you can continue doing exactly what I've been doing. So whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, so that the Son may continually bring glory to the Father through us as his body. So it's requiring a growth in our lives. It's requiring a maturing process that may be very uncomfortable because it's facing truth about ourselves. It's facing the truth about our thoughts, our motives. And that's necessary for the Holy Spirit to expose that because the Father is pruning so that we can become more fruitful, so that Jesus in us can continue bringing glory to the Father, so that the world can see the evidence that God is with us. The Great Commission, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so God has placed us in a town, in a city. He's placed us in a region. He's placed us wherever we are so that the world can see the evidence through our lives that God is with us. Because we are light. We are the salt. And so in this maturing process, there can be a tremendous battle where we can resist or we can yield. And this is part of the surrendering phase that we are going through right now as the children of God, where the Holy Spirit is speaking, and it's that surrender to him now. And I want to speak a little bit about that, because there's, in this truth that we're looking at there about the friendship with Jesus, it's vital for us to understand how this really enables us to be able to surrender and how it enables us to be able to obey. Let's quickly go to Joshua, for instance. Here we see Joshua is about to cross over and lead the people over into the promised land. They're there by the River Jordan. And God speaks to Joshua. And it's fascinating what he says to Joshua in chapter 3. And I mean, early in the morning, Joshua and all the leaders set out from Sittim and went to the Jordan where they camped. And then when the word of the Lord comes to him over there, and he starts to speak about that, I'm going to exalt you, Joshua, so that the people will know that I'm with you. How many of you desire for God to exalt you, so that the people will know that God is with you? Don't come with false humility. No, don't. Let's not be religious. Because it's the will of God for us to bear much fruit that displays his glory. See, we've learned that we've died with Christ. I'm not talking about self-ego over here. We've learned that we've been raised with him, and the power of sin is broken so that we can live a life that brings glory to our God. We've learned that hallowed be your name, our kingdom come. You see, hallowed be your name. We've learned. It's been established within us. And so the working of the Holy Spirit is brings in this truth, like we see with Joshua, where God is saying, listen, Joshua, I'm going to exalt you so that the people will know that I'm with you. They can see the evidence that I'm with you, Joshua. The world needs to see the evidence that God is with us. He's living in us. We surrender to him. He is the Lord. We sang about he reigns over all. The evidence.
And this is requiring that maturing process now, that incredible pruning, beautiful pruning of the most incredible gardener, our Heavenly Father. And so that cutting there, that's the exposure of motives and attitudes and behavior and mindsets and habits and all these things that we have in our lives. And he's sharing with us a way how to go beyond just the pain of being pruned and how to be able to surrender so that we can bear much fruit. We need to desire to bear much fruit because it's to our Father's glory. You see, we need to not have this religious humbleness that says, no, we can't desire to bear fruit. Who do we? No, we desire because Christ is in us. We've died to self. It's a love of God that compels us. It's not our own self-motive, our self-pride and that kind of stuff. It's dead. We've practiced that. We've applied that. We've renewed our mind. We've grown in that. It's been established in us. And it's about the glory of God in our lives, through our lives. It's His name. Hallowed be His name. But the Holy Spirit will challenge us about that attitude, that motive, whether it's really about Him or is it about us. That's part of the pruning. And it's a very important phase for us to go through where we begin to really take stock. And it's really truth encounters all the time now. Just really, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to me? Yes. As I shared, the Holy Spirit exposes rebelliousness. The Holy Spirit will expose motives. The Holy Spirit will expose many, many things now. Praise God for that. Because it's the Father's pruning, and that's the evidence of the Father's pruning. And it's wonderful to repent and just change that behavior. No, and begin to walk in the truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing. So, as one lady once said to someone here, let's grow up. And we're all growing up in Him. And then, so last Sunday we looked here at another one quickly before I move on to last Sunday. Remember in Acts chapter 4, where that crippled guy was healed. And the evidence is there. This person's been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And there was Peter and John. They were now taken to the leaders there, and they were forbidden to speak and all that there. But they saw this man. They saw the evidence of this man that's been raised, that's been healed. And they also recognized that these men had been with Jesus. Imagine the world saying to the church, these people have been with Jesus. We see the evidence. This is the maturing, because this is the will of God. So embrace pruning, yield to the pruning, because it brings glory to our Father, and it's worth it. But how do we get that reality that it's worth it? Because most times we want to resist it, and we find all kinds of justification and excuses to satisfy our self-centeredness. And so Jesus has been sharing with us from his life over here in John chapter 15. And he speaks there in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. I like that fruit that will last. Having fruit that will stand at the day of judgment, it will last for the glory of God. See, we must not just think of the now reality, you also got to think of eternity. Fruit that lost. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And last Sunday we looked at this scripture a little bit in more detail. But I want to focus on another one word over here. And that's in verse 13 where Jesus says, greater love. Greater love has no one than this than to lay down his life for his friend. See, this friendship with God, it came in this great love of Jesus Christ. Do we know the cost involved in him making us no longer to be an enemy of God, but for us to be reconciled and to be a friend of God? Do we know the cost of Christ's obedience, of Christ's incredible sacrifice on the cross, so that we can be called friends of God? The more we know the cost by the Holy Spirit, the more we ask these questions, and the more we, Lord Jesus, show me the cost of yours. Show me this greater love that you lay down your life for us. Take me into the depth of this greater love. And this is why Paul prays, and he prays in the most incredible prayer in Ephesians 3 that we concluded last Sunday. And let's just quickly go back to that prayer in Ephesians 3, because there's a lot there that helps us understand something. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is praying and he's asking our Heavenly Father by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to enable us to grasp this great love of his. But look what he writes over here with his prayer. He says here, and I pray for you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. No greater love than this, and to lay down your life. And our human ability can't grasp this. We need the Father to answer this prayer that Paul is praying for the body of Christ, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he may enable us to grasp this great, great, great love of Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord, our brother, our King. And the reality of this great love that we're speaking at, look at the length, the width, the depth, the height, it's just so big. Desire, let us desire for the Father to show us this great love, because something takes place when we begin to grasp this great love. That's why then Jesus says about now, if you love me, if you will be my friend, you will love me. But it flows out of this great, great revelation of his love. You and I, and I think many of you will know this truth, you cannot help but obey God when you're grasping this great, great love of his. You just cannot help it. It's a natural response to surrender and to obey him. Because this great love of his is so pure, so holy, that you just want to, just because it's so, so awesome. And that's what is happening over here in this prayer. And so Paul is praying and he says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. I don't think we even understand what that verse means. Really. That we may be full to the full measure of the fullness of God. So we know this now, that Jesus is saying in John 15 that, or even in John 14 and John 15, he keeps on repeating there that if you love me, you will obey me. He says, if you obey me, you're my friend. He Here Paul is writing something profound about in this revelation of love. Something takes place. We get filled to the fullness. That we begin to experience the full presence of God Almighty dwelling within us as His children. From the place of the revelation of this great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? So what happens when we obey our Lord Jesus Christ? What happens when we yield? What happens when we surrender to His ways? What happens when we experience this great love of God? What happens when Romans 12 comes into place? Where he speaks about that we come and we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our true spiritual worship. I've shared this many times, but I was reminded last night and again this morning, and a lot of confirmation. Some time back, we were busy declaring and decreeing over here in this building Sunday morning concerning the great manifestation of the kingdom of God and His glory. And there was that pause in the spirit realm because there was the time to consider the cost of this glory of God, the greater manifestation of His glory. And the only enabling power to say yes is to know the love of God, this great love. That's the enabling power that enables you and I to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice because of the revelation of this great love that He laid down His life, died for us so that we can obey Him. See, it's His love that compels us, as Paul writes. It's His love that compels us to obey Him. It's His love that's so powerful, it motivates us. It does something within us to say, yes, Lord, regardless of the cost, yes, Lord, we go for it. It's His great love of His. And it's vital that we ask the Holy Spirit, we get into agreement with that prayer and say, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I don't know this great love yet. I got a glimpse of it. I'm asking you to really enable me to grasp, not just me, but to enable the body of Christ in South Africa to grasp this great, great love. Because that will compel us to be involved in bearing much fruit for the glory of God. It will deal with our motives, our attitudes. It will deal with so many things that we might be struggling with right now, because the Father's pruning from a place of tremendous love. He disciplines those that He loves. That's where we are. And that's why it could be a comfortable time in our lives. It could be a challenging time in our lives. It could be a time where it's laying down our agendas, laying down our wills, and saying, yes, Lord. But let it come because of the revelation of His love. So it's not a religious thing. It's His love that empowers. It's His love that nourishes us. It's His love that enables us to be able to run the race that's set out for us. I've said this many times. God has placed His family in a town because He loves the people of this town. And we're moving into the awakening of the manifestation of that. We're moving to the place where it's so close, where He's calling us, He's inviting us to join in this great, incredible army of His. Where we lay down our lives, revelations, where we lay down our lives for His glory. He's calling us the reality, to step into the reality in that Romans chapter 6 that we've looked at so many times. And it's fascinating that in this Romans chapter 6 that we've looked at, when we read there in verse 10 onwards, the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. And then he speaks, and this is where our mind plays a major role in all of this. Because again, in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he carries on and he says there that as we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy. It's fascinating in Scripture how many times the mind and holiness is connected. Fascinating. It's fascinating to hear many, many times in Scripture, in the New Testament particularly, where we start to see there that when we begin to have our mind set on things above and our heart set on things above, straight away it goes on there, because you have died with Christ and raised with Him in order to live a life that brings glory to our Heavenly Father. It's fascinating every time when it comes to surrendering and renewing our mind. We see there about the incredible sanctification process that takes place as we renew our mind. And so here Paul is writing, and he says over here, now this is the fact that the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Now in the same way, see again the mind gets into play over here. In the same way, consider, this is your truth. This is our truth. He died for sin once and also that he can live for the glory of God. In the same way, we've died with him so that we can be raised with him and live with him for the glory of God. Whatever we ask in his name, he will do it so that the Father is glorified. Prune, 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 prune. Thank you for pruning us, Father. Thank you for kicking us out of our comfort zones. Thank you for challenging us with our excuses. Thank you for challenging us with our motives. Thank you for challenging us with so many things that we've become comfortable with and we've lived with and we've accepted as the norm and the condition because everybody else does it. Thank you, Lord, that you placed us in a town because you love the people and you're awakening us up to something so profound. To see your name exalted so that they can see the evidence that you are with us. Christ is alive, dwells within us. And that is why it's a surrendering. And so we've looked at this Romans 6, and again, let me just go through it again quickly. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. How many, do we do that? Do we actually use this brain of ours, this mind, everything, and say, I've died to sin, and I'm alive to you, God. That one song, sing my soul, praise the living God, you know? Do we actually get into agreement that I live for God? He's wakening us up, guys. And it's good. The more we know the love of God, you'll find the more you'll have, there's a passion, there's a fire, there's a zeal, there's a jealousy for the things of God. Disobedience is the evidence that we do not know the love of God. We've got maybe the knowledge of it. Because the love of God compels us. You just find, as I said, you just, yes, Lord. It's just a part of the incredible act of worship that comes in knowing the depth of what it cost Jesus in dying for us and saving us. the more we know this love of Jesus Christ, this great love that he laid down his life to call us friends, the more you will destroy the excuse, whatever that excuse may be. Don't look at the past. Don't look at these things. We're moving forwards with him now. And I'm sharing this because the army of God has to be pretty mature in Christ Jesus. Otherwise we run away from the enemy. Otherwise our emotions get in the way and we listen to our emotions and, oh, woe is me kind of stuff. And we open doors because we want to do things that allows the enemy to really just mess us around. And so we carry on. And he says over here, in the same way, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. And this is, he's saying, this is us. Therefore do not let sin. So we have a choice over here. But there's a law of the spirit of life that is in us. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. And we looked at that word instrument, it's weapons of wickedness. It's always used in the context of war. And he says over there again to Joshua, so that the people, the Israelites, will fear God, but the nations will know that I am God, the Almighty One. And I'm reading that and the Holy Spirit speaking to me about the growing up and how way in the pruning so that I can bear more fruit. And I had to be honest with God and I had to say, Lord, but deep down I seek the glory. See, we need to be honest with him. He knows us. And so the Holy Spirit exposes the hidden motives, things that I didn't realize I had, the Holy Spirit exposes, because it's about him. And so straight away, Lord, I need your help because I would like to be promoted and exalted. It's been a long journey. I need to see the fruit. But he deals with the motives. And it's only his great love, that motive of his love, that he's wanting us to be able to be established in. Because it's a pure motive then. Because it's his love. And as Jesus had such a pure love for his Father, it's the same motive to glorify the Father and do his will. So that's our prayer, that all of us, we will just really grow more and more into the incredible reality of his great love for us in laying down his life so that we can become friends of God. And no longer an enemy. Okay. So enjoy the truth encounters. That's good. Father, thank you that you love us and you speak to us. Lord, you know the timing. You know what's happening in the nations. You know you've got your own agenda in your will that's unfolding. But we sense in the spiritual realm the seriousness of the time we're living in. We sense in the spiritual realm how you're awakening the body worldwide. How you're dealing, particularly many of us in the Western world, in dealing with so many things that are so carnal and you're challenging us in many, many ways. So we want to thank you for that, Father. It's your mercy. Because you love the people of the nations. So this morning we sit here and we receive your grace and we receive just the powerful work of your Holy Spirit in empowering us, enabling us to grow more and more and more and more. Because we know it's a process of growth into the revelation of this great love that you have for us. And we will continue the rest of our lives getting more and growing deeper and deeper. But our desire, Father, is to really see that your name is glorified through our lives. We've laid down our crowns. We surrendered to you, Jesus, because you are the King of Kings. And we say, your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done here. And this we ask in the name and through you, Jesus Christ, empowering us, leading us, teaching us, healing us, whatever is necessary, we receive as we follow you as the King of the army. And this we ask, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.